Today on Real Life Radio.
If you're a radicalized Christian, you're going to be the most loving, the most passionate, committed believer around. You're going to be the full human being that God created you to be. And Christianity stakes this claim as being right.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now in a message called Why Does Christianity Claim to Be Right? Part 3 continues his series called The Why Series. You know, as Christians, we all know that truthful answers, they're almost impossible to come by these days, especially if we're looking anywhere else but the Bible. Even the answers to the most complex issues of life, whether mental, physical, or spiritual, are found in the pages of Scripture. But first and foremost, we've got to understand that God is the author of the Bible, and His Word is true because God's character is true. The Bible is both powerful and effective, not only to engage our minds, but to also change our hearts. And although the Bible gives us a moral code to live by, its ultimate purpose is centered around Jesus Christ and how He can transform our lives. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack tells us that the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, words that can penetrate the soul and judge the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. The Bible is also the vehicle by which God communicates His promises not only to Israel, but to the world. And now in his message called Why Does Christianity Claim to Be Right? Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
There's a special thing that happens on Wednesday nights. It's like we're in a living room still, and I love it. Lord, as we go through this series on the Why series, so personal, so real, that we pray, Father, that you would use the going forth of the topic, but most importantly, your word. And of course, that the topic would be wrapped around the word, infiltrated by the word, saturated in the word. That we wouldn't be having these series of teachings because of some topic, but it's because your word addresses the real issues of life. And how that ought to affect our hearts, because your Bible tells us that we are to keep our hearts with all diligence, because out of it comes forth the issues of life. So Lord, give us ears to hear. We pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. So grab your Bibles tonight, where we get started this evening in really the third part now of what we're titling, Why Does Christianity Claim to Be Right? This is our third week of looking at this. That's very much of an apologetic type title, and so that's fine. Apologetic meaning argumentation, not apology. To be apologetic in theology is to give an argument for your belief. And I hope that you're here tonight or you're watching tonight and that you're a Christian because you know what it is that you believe. The worst thing, listen, young people tonight, the worst thing tonight for you is to claim to be a Christian and not know what it is you believe that makes you a Christian. Very important. Very important. And so as we look to this, why does Christianity claim to be right? We've been going through previous studies. I'll recap those points in a moment, but mark this down if you would. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 to 13. I'll just read it to you. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 to 13. There the Bible says, by the way, we do not know the authorship of the book of Hebrews. If you look at the front, who wrote it? Nobody knows, but we have strong guesses. It's very Pauline in its style. That's neither here nor there. It is interesting, though, that it's written to the Hebrews, which is significant because it argues the priesthood of Jesus Christ over all earthly priesthoods of the world on earth ever, including the Levitical priesthood. Book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 12. Listen, the word of God is living and powerful, It's quite a statement. And sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit. Now, I'm going to keep reading, but this is what the Bible claims of itself. The Bible makes this claim. And of the joints and of the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Verse 13, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. I want you to look at that again one more time. This is quite remarkable. I want to make sure you catch this. For the word of God is living and powerful. So we're talking about the word of God. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Absolutely unstoppable about getting into your life and digging up into the soul of who you and I are. The word of God is able to do this. So much so, it's described as a two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit. This is an awesome statement because only the Bible teaches that you and I, as human beings, are body, soul, and spirit. Did you know that? The Bible says that you are a Trinity. Write this down. It's not in my notes. It's 1 Thessalonians 5:23. I hope. I think that's it. Where the Bible there tells us that it's God's will that you be sanctified completely, fully, body, soul, and spirit. You are a little Trinity. The Bible says that it is able to get inside of the motives, and it's even able to make the difference of biblical application between your soul and your spirit. That is amazing. Listen, your soul is the Greek word psuche, your psychology, your thinking. Soul. Soulology is psychology. Now, we're Bible-believing Christians, and we don't lean on psychologists to tell us how to live our lives, yet at the same time, because we're Christians, we cannot rule out the soulology of who we are. That one practice of psychology only studies psychology, the workings of the mind. It completely ignores the working of the spirit. It doesn't recognize the psychological community doesn't recognize that man is a spirit. Friends, listen, you are a body, that's this. Your soul, you can relate to, you're thinking right now. Whatever you're thinking, it doesn't matter, or it does matter. But your spirit is either born again right now or not. Isn't that amazing? You are either alive spiritually right now or you are dead spiritually right now. And what constitutes you being alive or dead spiritually? Have you been, the word is quickened. Have you been made anew? Have you been awakened in the spirit of who you are? In other words, you live like this. And I'll try to do this quick. Your body is your body, and your body demands what it demands, okay? It just does that. For example, I'm not being fun. I'm just saying I haven't had dinner tonight. My body is hungry. It's telling me that. This is a real function. The elements of my physical operation is communicating to my mind, eat something. And my mind is saying to my body, I'm going to eat as soon as service is over. That has nothing to do with my spirit. But you can live your entire life living on the flesh and soul side of life, and you are living like that until you're born again, Jesus said. And when you're born again, it means that your spirit comes alive. And you're awakened, and you're awakened to spiritual issues. You're awakened to spiritual dialogue. You're awakened to spiritual ideas. You begin to think deep thoughts about eternity and about forever and about sin and about righteousness, about forgiveness, about love. It's remarkable. And how that happens in your life, my life, how that happens in people's lives, you can't put a stamp on it, because for some people it's in an instant and some people it's years, decades maybe. That's the working of the Holy Spirit. But know this, that the Word of God is able to get inside of you and just dissect you spiritually between the joints and the marrows, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents or the intentions of the heart. Verse 13, and there is no creature, watch for it. There is no creature hidden from his sight. His. Where did that come from? Look at the logic in this. The Word of God is living. It's not just that the his belongs to God. It is that the Word of God is a his. You know where I'm going. The Word of God is Jesus Christ. And he's the only one fit and able, by virtue of his incarnation, that the Word of God comes and becomes human flesh in front of us, but it is the walking, living Word of God, Jesus. It's remarkable. I want to read you this quote by Lee Strobel, a journalist, former journalist, Chicago Sun-Times, famed atheist turned apologist, became a Christian. Quote, to be honest, I didn't want to believe that Christianity could radically transform someone's character and values. It was much easier to raise doubts and manufacture outrageous objections than to consider the possibility that God actually could trigger, I love that word, a revolutionary turnaround in such a depraved and degenerate life. That's the working of God. Hey, that's why I'm a Christian. Do I have science to back up my Christianity? Absolutely. You bring up the science, I can go to it in my Christianity. I'm not afraid of that. Linguistics, no problem. Anthropology, done deal. You can go through all of that stuff, but if you're not careful, you can become a very, very astute and very, very adept theologian and never make it to heaven. Because you know all the answers, but you've never had the greatest answer answered in your own spirit, in your own life. And that is the conversion, the radicalizing. Can I put it that way? The radicalization of who you are in the Christian context. Now, if you are radicalized as a Christian, don't think you're going to go run around and blow people up and do all that stuff that the other team is like when they're radicalized. If you're a radicalized Christian, you're going to be the most loving, the most passionate, committed believer around. You're going to be the full human being that God created you to be. And Christianity stakes this claim as being right. Christianity would say, our team is the only team that transforms human life. You would counter back and say, wait a minute. I knew somebody who was an absolute drunk, absolute maniac, absolute whatever, and he went vegan. He sits on rocks a few hours a day, focuses on his navel, and then comes up. He's got a couple of crystals, and he's the most peaceful, loving, tender guy in the world. Good for him. Good for him. He's had a transformation. But he's not saved. You say, how dare you say that? I didn't say that. You can be the most moral person in the world and miss heaven altogether because you've not experienced the radicalization of the Holy Spirit in making you a new person from the inside out. I can practice my Zen. I can practice my meditation. I can practice these things. Okay, are you with me? I can make a New Year's resolution. but it doesn't transform or give birth to my spiritual life, though I might conduct myself in a very spiritual manner. God transforms. I'm going to read you a montage. You're going to follow with me on screen. You don't have to read it. I'll just read it. But watch how this goes and just listen. I want you to let this wash over you. That is the power of God's word. And we'll start again where we read a moment ago, Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. That means your life is going to be reviewed in the end. You got to give your life back to God. Isaiah 55:9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word of God confirmed, which we do well to take heed to as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. For you have magnified your word above all your name. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Amen. Over and over and over again, the power of the Word of God. We've been looking at this in our study, and why does Christianity claim to be right? Number one, because listen, we saw this. We consider the Bible's self-claims. If you weren't here, just write it down and look at previous studies. The Bible makes radical self-claims about itself. Because that's the argument of a lot of people today. You quote the Bible, but that's ridiculous. It's just the Bible. You say the Bible says, that's just the Bible saying something about itself. That's correct. Put it to the test. The Bible says this. By the way, find some other book that is, quote, religious or spiritual, that has the chutzpah, the guts, to say what the Bible says. Self-claims of the Bible. Number two, we studied last time that we must consider the Bible's historicity. The Bible as a historical book is flawless. Unbelieving archaeologists, Indiana Jones types, can open up the Bible and go dig in the deserts of the Middle East and find pots and pans and coins and stuff relating to the very empire that said dwelt in such and such an area. To this day, the Smithsonian Institute, the book of accuracy remains as the Bible for antiquity. Thirdly, consider the Bible's declarations. The Bible makes declarations. We looked at that. Profound declarations. If you do thus and so, I will do thus and so. If you will come to me, then I will do thus and so. God says, I think about you this way. My thoughts toward you are this way. Claims, declarations. Last week, we looked at what is known as eschatological assertions, meaning the Bible says, this is why we're Christians, the Bible says, write this down, Prophet Isaiah, Prophet Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Moses, David, write this down and watch for its fulfillment. And it is estimated that somewhere in the area of 33% of your Bible is prophetic or futuristic. It's the fancy term eschatological, meaning that God says, I know the future in advance. And I wrote it down, and when it happens, when you see it, you'll know that I'm the one, unique among all other gods, made by man. I'm the only one that's not made by man. In fact, let me say this while I got the chance. As Christians, we believe in the uncreated creator. Do you understand that? So, well, how old is God? Wrong question. Well, who created God? Before your God ever was, what was? Wrong question. Your questioning is based on an assumption that God or gods are created. The God of the Bible comes along and says, in the beginning, I was already here. He's always been. All of man's gods are created gods. They're carved out of things. My neighbor loves Polynesian type totem pole things. I don't know. Now, in Alaska, they're totem poles. But in the Polynesian world, I'm sorry, I should know. My mom's from that part of the world, but I can't tell you what they are. But you know, like kind of like the Easter Island kind of faces and strange things. Those are man-made gods. They have ears, but you can yell at them all you want. They can't hear you. They got a mouth, but they can't speak. They've got eyes, but they can't see anything. Men love gods like that, by the way. I'm going to create this god made out of my imagination. It's got ears, it's got eyes, it's got nose, it's got mouth. But it will never get involved in my life. It will never bother me. It will never tell me no to the things that I want to do. And then tonight, here we go, tonight. Tonight is the fact that we consider the Bible's corroborative integrity. That the Bible has an integrity and that it is adjoining or connecting.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in his message called Why Does Christianity Claim to Be Right? Part 3. Thanks for being with us today. Why Does Christianity Claim to Be Right? Part 3 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Why Series. It's a series that brings to light the difficult questions of life and allows us to logically reason together while looking to God for the answers. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, the Bible is not only the way to know God, it's our best weapon against the evils that we face in this life. And with the Holy Spirit's guidance, God's Word gives us both comfort and encouragement, especially during these chaotic and difficult times. That's why when it comes to reading the Bible, it's always best to have a plan. And that is where we come in. Simply download the Real Life mobile app onto your smartphone or tablet and go to the Bible Plus plan. Now, once you're there, you'll find a daily Bible reading plan. Now, in that plan, you can start at the beginning in Genesis, select a verse, or skip ahead. You can also read along with the audio version for better understanding. It's all right there on the Jack Hibbs Real Life mobile app. You can access the app through the App Store, or we've made the app available for download at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.